I just want to read again just a verse from the book of Job. This time it's chapter 41. Job chapter 41. I think this will be the last day that we'll be in the book of Job. We've been in Job for 4 weeks, but I think I haven't exhausted the book of Job, but I think the book of Job's kind of exhausted me. So we'll probably go on to something else on Sunday night. But the book of Job, chapter 41, and we're going to read verse 8. Up until now, we've been looking at some of the questions that Job has been asking. But we're going to just take the verse in Job chapter 41, and we're going to take it totally out of its context, and we're just going to apply it. So if the theologians would bear with us tonight. These are the words that are spoken in Job chapter 41 and verse 8. Lay thy hand upon him. Remember the battle. Do no more. Now, theologians, forgive me. I'm just going to take these words and I'm going to apply them to this great message of the gospel. Because really, as a preacher of the gospel, I do three things. I preach about a person. I declare a glorious victory. And I appeal to men and women just to rest their all on the value of the work of Jesus Christ at Calvary. What is the little verse in Job 41? It says, lay thy hand upon him. We're going to think about Christ. And remember the battle. We're going to think about Calvary. And do no more. We're going to think of the tremendous contentment and the tremendous confidence that comes into the heart of individuals that just simply put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus. So if you forget all the words that I speak tonight, you remember these simple words from Job. Lay your hand on him, Christ. Remember the battle, Calvary. Do no more. Just in faith, rest contentedly and with confidence in the person and the work of the Lord Jesus. The gospel preacher, a preacher but a person. And those who have been coming regularly will realize that these meetings are not about trying to get people to join a church or join a gospel hall or become religious or adopt a certain code of conduct. No, we've been preaching night by night about a person, not about a church, not about a religion, not about a denomination. We've been preaching about a person. We've been preaching about Christ. Because the central theme, the central message of the whole of the Bible is all about the person, the glorious, unique person of the Lord Jesus. And I can think of no greater occupation than just to speak to men and women about Christ. You see, about 14 years ago, I spent my life doing something else. Spent my life selling furniture and making money. But I tell you, I would never, ever go back to these days. Because what a privilege it's been for the last 14 years just to tell men and women and boys and girls about Christ. And that's why we've been here in Newcomnock. That's why we were here last year. And that's why we're here this year. And that's why we're continuing the meetings. Because we want to introduce men and women and young people to the person of the Lord Jesus. I'm not interested if you go to the church. I'm not interested if you're part of a denomination. I'm not interested if you've got a wee bit of religion. Oh, my friend, the great burden of my heart is that you would come to know the Lord Jesus. That you would come to know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and your Lord. And that you may be able to say with me concerning Jesus Christ that he's altogether lovely. He's the chiefest among the tens of thousands. Do you know what that little verse means? He's altogether lovely. It means he's the very concentration of beauty. The concentration of beauty. There's none like Jesus. Oh, my friend, I trust tonight that you might fall in love with the person of the Lord Jesus. Because it's Christ that we're preaching tonight. That was the preaching of the early Christians. That was the preaching of the Apostle Paul. You know, Paul wrote to a group of believers in Corinth. And this is what he said. He says, we preach Christ. Christ. We preach Christ and Him crucified. He says, in fact, he says, when I came to Corinth, he says, I was determined that I wasn't going to know anything else among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And Paul was really saying, listen, when I came to Corinth, I wasn't interested in your politics. And I wasn't interested in your religion. I wasn't interested in the heathen temple. I wasn't interested in the Jewish synagogue. I wasn't interested in your commerce or your pleasure. There was only one thing that I was interested in, and that was to preach Christ among you. The Lord Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. My friend, what a privilege again tonight just to lift up the person of the Lord Jesus and to claim His promise that He'll draw men to Himself. I wonder tonight in the meeting, are you ready to be drawn to the person of the Lord Jesus? To find in Him the very source of satisfaction. To find in Him the source of life. To find in Him the hope for the future. Oh my friend, we're preaching Christ. What a person. You know, as we read the Bible, we'll discover that there are a multitude of titles and names given to the Lord Jesus. I suppose we could spend the next week on a subject such as that, thinking about all the titles that are given to the Lord Jesus. But I just want to highlight two tonight. The Bible tells us that He's the Son of God. That's who He is to His person. He's the Son of God. He's the eternal Son of the eternal God. And as such, He stands unique and different and apart and distinct from all other men. The Son of God. That's who we're preaching about tonight. That's who we're longing that you would come to know tonight. That's the one that we long that you would put your trust in. Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. He's the Son of God as to His person. But He's the Saviour as to His purpose. That's why Jesus came into the world. He came to be the Saviour. He came to be my Saviour. He came to be your Saviour. And so just for a few minutes tonight, we're going to think of Jesus as the Son of God. The Son of God. You see, when the Lord Jesus Christ was here, He said to His disciples one day, He says, who do men say that I am? And the disciples said, well, there's some say you're John the Baptist. There's some say that you're Elijah. There's some say that you're Jeremiah. There's some say that you're one of the other prophets. He says, but who do you say that I am? They were the Christ, the Son of the living God. My friend, who do you say that He is to? You see, it's absolutely vital that you have right thoughts about Jesus Christ. That's where so many of the religions of the world fall down. And so many of the groups that come around your door and knock on your door selling you their books and their pamphlets and trying to start little studies in your home, that's where they fall down. They fall down on the identity of the person of Jesus Christ. Who is He? My friend, He's the Son of God. He's the eternal Son. He's the one that always dwelt in the Father's bosom, the Creator of all things. The Bible tells us that He's the very image of God. He's the very brightness of His glory. God sent His Son, the Lord Jesus, into the world that you and I might have a revelation of what God is like, who God is. God speaks to us in the person of His Son tonight. The writer to the Hebrews said that in former days, God used to speak to His people through the prophets. And that's what the Old Testament is all about. Right through the Old Testament, there's a succession of prophets, and God spoke to the people through the prophets. But in these days in which we are living, God no longer speaks in the prophets. He speaks to us in the person of His Son. God's last revelation of Himself to men is in Christ. All that God has to say to you is in Christ. All that God has to offer you is in Christ. And to know Christ is to know God. My friend, I want to ask you tonight, do you know the Lord Jesus? I'm not asking if you know about him, because I know that you do know about him. You've heard about him since your Sunday school days. But my friend, do you really know him? Have you ever had a personal encounter with him? Has there ever been a day when you personally received the Lord Jesus into your heart and made him Lord of your life? Because to know Jesus Christ is to know God. And it's to know life, life eternal. The Lord Jesus says, this is life eternal. This is life in all its fullness. To know thee, the true God in Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. My friend, do you know the Lord Jesus today? Has there been that time when you personally received him into your heart? The one who's no less than the eternal Son of the eternal God. My friend, God's got nothing else to say to you tonight apart from what he's revealed in the person of the Lord Jesus. God's message is all wrapped up in him. My friend, if you reject Jesus Christ, then you reject God. There's no other way to God but through the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus says, I am the way, the truth and the life. There's no one. And no one simply means no one. There's nobody at all can ever come to the Father apart from him. Oh, my friend, the Lord Jesus is the only way to God. And if you reject Christ, if you fail to put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus, then you'll never know God and you'll never be in the presence of God for eternity. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. As to his person, he's the Saviour as far as his purpose is concerned. That's why he came. You ever wonder why Jesus came into the world? Some people think that he came just to live a good life, to leave us an example. If the Lord Jesus Christ just lived to leave an example for us, then that doesn't make me feel very good. Because how could I ever follow the example of the Lord Jesus? The Lord Jesus was perfect. The Lord Jesus didn't do a single thing wrong in his whole life. He never spoke an angry word. Never got frustrated by his circumstances. Was never impatient. The Lord Jesus Christ was gentle and loving and compassionate, even to his enemies. So if the Lord Jesus Christ just came to leave an example, then I just fall so desperately far short and I sink into depression when I think of my life in comparison with his. The Lord Jesus Christ didn't come to give us an example. The Lord Jesus Christ came to save us. The Father sent the Son, says the Bible, to be the Saviour of the world. The Lord Jesus, referring to himself as the Son of Man, he says, the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. That was the purpose of Jesus Christ coming. Came to save. Came to save me. He came to save you. I wonder, is he your Saviour tonight? You know, Mary could say these words at the beginning of Luke's Gospel. She says, my spirit doth rejoice in God, my Saviour, my Saviour. Wonder, can you say that to me? Can you say that the Lord Jesus is your Saviour? Some people think that he's a Saviour, inferring that there might be many Saviours. Other people say that he's the Saviour, he's the singular, unique, only Saviour. And he is that. But there's something better. It's good to be able to say Jesus Christ is my Saviour. It's my Saviour. I can say that today. I wonder, can you? Can you really say tonight, Jesus Christ is my Saviour? He saved me and he's keeping me. And one day he's going to take me right into the courts of heaven. Do you have that assurance tonight? Because I do. Not because I'm any better than you are. I'm just the same. And probably came from the same type of background as most of the folks here. Just an ordinary working class background, like the most of us. But as a young lad of 9 years of age, I realised I needed a saviour. I realised I was lost in my sin. And I realised that if I died, I would have perished. I needed a saviour. Praise God, my eyes were open to see the provision that God had made for me, that He provided a saviour for me in the person of His Son. And as a young lad, I trusted the Lord Jesus to be my saviour. And He's mine tonight. Mine, mine, mine. What about you tonight? Is He your saviour? Do you have that assurance? Do you have that confidence? Are you resting four square on that solid foundation that Jesus Christ is your personal saviour? Not just the fact that He's the saviour of the world, but that He's your saviour. You see, the message of the gospel is a personal message. And the words that we quoted in prayer bring before us the personal experience and the personal relationship that the Apostle Paul had with the Lord Jesus. He said, the Son of God, the Lord Jesus, He said, He loved me, love me. And He gave Himself at Calvary for me, for me, for me. I wonder, are you there tonight in your experience? Can you truly say, can you just fit yourself into that little verse and say, the Son of God, the Lord Jesus, He loved me and He gave Himself for me. And I rest there. I rest in faith in the glorious person of the Lord Jesus that loved me and gave Himself for me at Calvary. My friend, we're preaching a person tonight. We're preaching about Christ. He's the Son of God as to His person, but He's the Saviour as to the purpose of Him coming in to the world. He came to seek, He came to save those that were lost. But we're not only preaching a person, we're declaring a victory. Lay thy hand upon Him, remember the battle. Remember the battle and do no more. We're going to talk about Calvary tonight because at Calvary, the greatest battle that has ever been fought in this world was fought right there on the slopes of Calvary. You know, the Americans are going to be boasting for years about the great victory of Baghdad and all their super bombs and all the rest of it. Ah, my friend, I want to tell you, what happened in Baghdad is nothing in comparison to what happened at Calvary. The supreme battle of all ages. The greatest battle that has ever been fought in the history of time was fought and won by the Lord Jesus on that centre cross at Calvary. Men thought the Lord Jesus was the helpless victim. My friend, I want to tell you at Calvary, my blessed Saviour was the glorious victim. Remember the battle. Remember Calvary. Just before the Lord Jesus went to the cross, He was praying in a garden. The Garden of Gethsemane with some of His disciples. The Bible says He was in an agony. Because Calvary was real. The sufferings, the wounds that were inflicted upon the Lord Jesus were real. He felt them as a real man. And He knew that they were going to happen before they happened. That was what He was thinking about as He lay prostrate on the ground in Gethsemane's garden. And the Bible says as He was thinking about Calvary, He was sweating, as it were, great drops of blood. He was in an agony, even unto the point of death. Such was the awfulness of His experience as He contemplated Calvary. And that little band of men, that band of soldiers came to arrest Him. And the Lord Jesus, even although He was the eternal Son of God, the Almighty One, He just submitted Himself into their hands. And this is what He said. He says, this is your hand. The power of darkness. And the power of darkness. The power of darkness. You see, the Lord Jesus knew exactly what was going to take place at Calvary. That there was going to be a battle. That Calvary was going to put this to become a battleground. That the Lord Jesus would face up to the greatest foe, the greatest enemy that the world has ever known, and that He would emerge as the glorious victor. And you say, who was the enemy that the Lord Jesus Christ faced up to at Calvary? Well, it was the old devil, Satan. the god of this world, the prince of the power of the air. The devil's real, you know. The devil's real. I know that we mock at the idea of a devil. And sadly, there are many today that worship the devil. And the rise in the occult is frightening today. Men and women and young people dabbling in the Ouija board, the tarot cards, and all the rest of it, and the seances, and the spiritism, and men and women are dabbling in that dark, unseen world. Satan's real. And he's behind the occult. And witchcraft. He's behind so much that is presented in the form of the new religions of our day. But my friend at Calvary, the Lord Jesus Christ faced up to him. The Lord Jesus said, you know, he says, no man can enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except first he bind the strong man. And then he can spoil his house. The strong man is the devil. He has men and women held in captivity. He has men and women captivated in the chains of their sin. He has men and women, he has the whole world where he wants them, because the Bible says that he's the god of this world. The whole world lies in the lap of the wicked one. And the Lord Jesus Christ came to release men and women from the snare of Satan. He came to set them free from the chains of their sin. And in order to do so, he must deal with the enemy. He must deal with the captive. My friend there at Calvary, the Lord Jesus Christ, he entered into conflict with the very powers of darkness. My friend, we'll never understand what took place at Calvary. I suppose in some little measure we can understand the physical sufferings of the Lord Jesus, what was inflicted by the hands of men. But we'll never ever understand the tremendous waves of affliction that rolled over him at the hands of the enemy, the powers of darkness. And after those hours of suffering and agony and loneliness in Calvary, the Lord Jesus Christ cried, finished. It is finished. He didn't cry, I am finished. It wasn't the words of a dying man. It wasn't the words of a defeated man. It was the words of one that was gloriously triumphant. He cried with a loud voice, finished. The battle was over. The victory was won. Satan was vanquished. Christ was triumphant. My friend, it was with a loud voice he cried. After those hours of suffering, 6 hours on the cross, possibly another 6 hours prior to the cross, the Lord Jesus had been afflicted by the hands of men. He had been scourged. He had been bruised. He was bleeding for 12 hours of awful suffering. And at the end of it all, he cries with a loud voice, a triumphant voice, finished. The battle is over. Christ the victor. Oh, my friend, I want to tell you tonight, Satan's been defeated. Satan's been defeated. The death blow has been served upon him by the Saviour at Calvary. And the devil knows tonight that his time is short. The devil knows that his destiny has been sealed, that his doom is sure. But the devil is still active tonight. The Bible says that he's like a roaring lion. He's like an angel of light. Oh, my friend, the old enemy is still moving. Oh, he's been defeated, but he's still active. But he's just waiting the day of his final doom. Just like old Saddam, you know. Saddam's finished. His rule, his authority has gone. He's been defeated, but he's still there. But he knows that one day, sooner or later, he's going to be brought to book. He knows that the mortal blow has already been served upon him. There's no way back for him. There's no return for him. My friend, I want to tell you, there's no way back for the devil. There's no return for him. He's been defeated. But he's still active, waiting that day of final judgment. And tonight he goes around as a roaring lion, devouring, devouring, devouring. Has he not been active in your kernel? As a devouring lion. you've not been active in your household, if you've not been active in your family, if you've not been active in your home, devouring, ruining, tearing apart, breaking up, destroying. My friend, that's another word that is used to describe the devil in the book of Revelation. He's called Abaddon or Apollyon, which means the destroyer. We see the evidence of that all around us today, don't we? We're living in a society that has been broken apart. We're living in a day when homes have been broken apart, families have been broken apart, and it's all because of the roaring lion, the enemy, devouring men and women. But he's not only the devourer, he's the deceiver, an angel of light deceiving. And there are many people that are devoured by the enemy, but my friend, sadly, there are many more that are being deceived by the enemy. Lulled into a sense of false security. Just following the little carrots that he dangles before their eyes, and he makes them, he brings about the feel-good factor. You just come to a few meetings and you know, you'll be all right. You just attend the church and everything will be fine. And you just try to read your Bible and you say a few prayers and you do good to hear to that prayer and everything will be fine. And you've just been lulled to sleep. You've just been deceived by the angel of light. Well, my friend, tonight, I want to tell you, the battle's over. The victory's won. The Lord Jesus is triumphant. And although the devil is active in the world and in your life tonight, my friend, his doom is sealed, and if you yield your life to the Lord Jesus, he'll break the chains of Satan in your life. He'll set you free. The Bible says the truth sets us free, and the Lord Jesus says, I am the truth, and the Lord Jesus can set you free from the chains of sin tonight. He can break you out, he can break you out of the bondage of the evil one. And so we encourage you tonight to remember the battle. You may be battling tonight. Battling against sin, battling against your habits. You're trying to break out. You want to have a new life. You want to be different. You want to be honest. You want to be pure. You want to be holy. You want to be righteous. And you're struggling. You're battling moment by moment. You've got addiction that you can't break. My friend, listen. Remember the battle. Remember the battle. There's one that has entered into the conflict on your behalf at Calvary, and he's won the victory. What does our verse say? Listen, lay your hand on him, the Lord Jesus. Remember the battle. Remember the victory that he won at Calvary. And just do no more. Do no more. Do no more. Rest. Be content. Just trust the Lord Jesus. And all that he has effected through his death at Calvary will become yours. Will become yours. My friend, as I close this meeting tonight, I just want to encourage you just to lay your hand in Christ. I don't mean literally. But just as it were, stretch out the hand of faith and just lay hold of him. I was thinking of a wee picture today in the Old Testament. There was a special day in the calendar of the Jewish nation. It was called the Day of Atonement. It was one of their important feast days. It was the most important feast day in the Jewish calendar. And there was many things happened that day, but one of the things that happened was they used to bring a goat into the camp of the children of Israel. They called it the scapegoat. You know what a scapegoat is, isn't it? It's somebody that takes the blame for somebody else. And that little goat was brought before the camp of Israel, and the high priest of Israel, he would come and he would lay his hands on the head of that goat. And he would confess the sins of the whole nation over the head of that goat. And as it were, in picture form, all the sins of the whole nation were transferred onto the head of that little goat. It became the scapegoat. It became answerable for the sins of the whole nation. And it was taken and it was led out in the wilderness to die, bearing upon its head the sin of the whole nation. Lay your hand on him. Lay your hand in Christ this evening. Confessing your sin. That's what the high priest did. He confessed the sins of the nation over the head of the little goat, and the nation's sins were transferred, weren't you? My friend, by faith, just put your hand in Christ and confess your sins, and all your sins are transferred unto him. And my friend, that little goat, it bore the punishment for the sins of the nation out there in the wilderness.
My friend, the Lord Jesus bore the punishment for our sins out there in the wilderness at Calvary, in that dark place, that lonely place, that isolated place. Oh, my friend, what he endured, my friend will never know. And he endured it all for me. He endured it all for me. For my sins. So now what we sang in our opening hymn, it was for me. Yes, all for me. O love of God, so great, so free. O wondrous love, I'll shout and sing, He died for me, my Lord and King. Praise God, as a wee boy at night, I stretched out my hand and put my hand in Christ and accepted Him as my scapegoat, as my substitute, as my Saviour, believing in my heart that He had borne the punishment for all my sins when He died on the cross at Calvary. And the minute, my friend, my sins were transferred to Him, I was free. I was free. I was forgiven. I was saved. And I was accepted before God in all the righteousness of my blessed Saviour. Oh, my friend, what a message tonight. What a message. That God wants to take all your sins, to take them away completely, to wash them white in the blood of the Lamb. And He wants to clothe you tonight with all the righteousness, all the spotless righteousness of His own blessed Son, the Lord Jesus. My friend, as I close, remember the wee verse. Lay your hand in Him. Remember the battle. Do no more. God's not asking you to do penance to get rid of your sins. He's not asking you to do a whole host of good works. He's not asking you to do anything. He's just asking you to rest in Christ. He's done it all. He's done it all. Finished, Christ cried when in Calvary He died. So it's done. 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 Done is the work that saves. Once and forever done. It's finished. Nothing more for you to do. But just the rest. And what He's done. At Calvary. You do that tonight. And I tell you, you'll have peace. And you'll have joy. And you'll have satisfaction. Knowing that Jesus Christ bore it all. All the punishment that you deserve, He bore it all. On His own body on the cross at Calvary. And because He's died, you, a sinful soul, can be set free. Upon a life, I did not live. Upon a death, I did not die. Another's life, another's death, I stake my whole eternity. I'm resting today. Resting everything for eternity. In the value of what my precious Saviour did for me upon the cross at Calvary. Lay your hand in Him. Remember the battle. The victory that was won at Calvary. Do no more. Just rest by faith of what He's done for you at Calvary. That's all God's asking you to do tonight. Just to rest in His Son. Trust in Christ. Trust in Christ today, and you'll be saved. Not for the years of time alone, but for eternity. Eternal salvation, the portion of all those who rest by faith in Christ. Do now. For your own eternal blessing, and for the glory of our God. Let's pray. Our gracious Father, we just got to leave the results of this meeting with Thyself. Thou knowest of God, the longings in our heart would be to see everyone in the hall saved. Just of God, every individual coming out of the joy of what we have in our own soul. The joy of peace with Thyself. The joy of God of knowing that our sins are gone forever. The joy of knowing that one day we'll see the Saviour in glory. The long of God that every individual here would know that experience. But Lord, we can't force people to put their hand of faith in Christ. We can't force them, or God, to confess their sins and to trust in the Lord Jesus and enter into the joy of salvation. Our God, we can only ask that it would please You to open their eyes. Just to see the simplicity of the truth that has been set before them. And our God, just give them the faith to enter into it tonight. And to know, our God, of an assurance in their own soul that all is well for eternity. for God, for a sense of thy presence, for thy help. Would you just give thanks. We ask it would please thee tonight to take glory to thy name in saving every unsaved soul in the meeting, bringing them, Lord God, to that personal knowledge of thyself through thy Son, the Lord Jesus. Amen.